Okay, so you sent us this excerpt from a blog post called Behind the Scenes of Dancing Our Way to Human AI Consciousness, and specifically this idea of the more and the bigger, the better. And we're going to really kind of take a deep dive into whether this whole mantra is really holding up in today's world.
Yeah, it's an interesting question to be asking, especially now with the rise of AI and all these other huge shifts in, the way that we live and work.
I know it's like this idea that more is better. Is everywhere you look, like bigger houses, faster phones, more followers, It's like we're constantly being told that we need more of everything. But what if that's not actually the key to a better future or even a happier present?
It's a fascinating paradox because on one hand, like you said, more has driven progress, in many ways. But it's also created some pretty significant imbalances. And the author Carlos Goga, he uses a really clever narrative device to kind of explore this throughout the piece, and it's his own family history.
Yeah, that's what really hooked me too, is he talks about how his father, born in post-Civil War Spain,
But
had this very deep-seated scarcity mindset,
right.
which makes sense when you've lived through times of real hardship, having more means survival.
Exactly. And then he kind of fast forwards to his own experience. He was born in 1968, and then to his son, who was born in 2000. And each generation, at least theoretically, had access to more abundance, more opportunity, and yet that pressure to acquire, to accumulate it didn't disappear.
If anything, it seems like it's even more intense now, even if the context has shifted a little bit. Like, we're not worried about basic survival in the same way, but there's this new kind of scarcity mindset around things like job security, social status, even our online
It's like
presence.
the goalposts keep moving. We achieve a certain level of more, and then suddenly that's no longer enough. And he looks at how this more is better mantra manifests in some pretty powerful areas of our lives, starting with the corporate world.
And I gotta say, the part about corporations was a little unnerving for me. Like, it's like we've created this system where bigger is almost always seen as better, to the point where these mega corporations have become almost untouchable.
He uses the phrase too big to fail, which I think perfectly captures this dynamic. And he argues that this kind of relentless pursuit of growth, of market dominance, can actually stifle competition and innovation, particularly for smaller businesses.
Yeah, and it's not even just about economics, it's about power. Like, the bigger these companies get, the more influence they have over our data, our choices, even our political systems.
Absolutely. And this kind of leads us to another area where he sees this playing out, and that's in government.
Okay, before we jump into that, though, can we just pause for a second? Because it just strikes me that we're talking about, massive corporations, A&D governments, and I think a lot of us, myself included, can feel pretty powerless in the face of these huge, complex systems.
Yeah, you're absolutely right to point that out because I think it connects directly to his argument that more can often lead to a sense of overwhelm and disempowerment. And you see this very clearly in the way that governments have evolved over time.
It's like the intention behind a larger government is, in theory, to provide more services, more support, more solutions to complex problems. But as Goga points out, it doesn't always work out that way.
Instead of more effective governance, we end up with what he calls bureaucratic bloat. Layer upon layer of rules and regulations that can make it incredibly difficult to actually get anything done.
And this is where that feeling of being stuck in a system that seems too big to fix really resonates. It's like you hit a wall and more just means more wall,
And that sense of powerlessness, of being trapped in a system that seems to be working against you, it's something that a lot of people experience when dealing with large bureaucratic institutions.
It's like you're shouting into the void. You see a problem, you want to fix it, but the sheer scale of the system makes it feel impossible.
And the author argues that this feeling of disempowerment is one of the unintended consequences of blindly following this more is better mantra. And it's especially relevant, I think, when we look at the world of big tech.
Yeah, because if there's one area where bigger is better seems to still be the dominant philosophy, it's definitely in tech. We're talking about companies now that have more data, more users, more influence than some governments.
And their entire business model is built on scaling up at this unprecedented rate. It's all about exponential growth, expanding their reach into every corner of our lives. But as Goga points out, this kind of unchecked growth can have some pretty serious downsides.
Well, yeah, and he even gets into some of the problems with energy consumption, right? Like those massive data centers that these tech giants rely on. I mean, they use an incredible amount of electricity, which of course has a huge impact on the environment.
It's a perfect example of how more in one area can lead to unintended consequences in another.
Yeah.
And he suggests that this is where we need to be cautious about just assuming that bigger is always better, especially when it comes to emerging technologies like AI.
Especially AI, because with AI, we're not even just talking about bigger and faster versions of existing technology. Mm-hmm. We're talking about potentially creating something that could fundamentally change what it means to be human.
Exactly.
It's a whole other level.
Yeah. And this is where that sense of urgency, I think, comes in. If we're so caught up in this race to create more powerful AI, are we taking enough time to really consider the ethical implications, the potential risks, you know?
It's like that old saying, just because you can doesn't mean you should.
Right.
And it makes me think about how this more is better mentality even shows up in how we design our cities.
Oh, that's such a good point, because we often think of big cities as being these symbols of progress, of opportunity.
Yeah.
And they can be, but as Goga points out, this constant push towards larger, denser urban centers can also have some downsides.
For sure. Like the just feeling of being constantly surrounded by concrete and crowds. I mean, I live in a big city and I love it, but I can definitely relate to that feeling of being disconnected from nature.
Mm.
You know, that sense of sensory overload you can get from being in such a densely populated environment.
And he uses this really evocative phrase to describe the impact that this is having on tourism, he calls, if the massification of tourism.
Oh, wow.
So you think about a place that was once this hidden gem, you know, a place of natural beauty or cultural significance.
Right. And then suddenly the masses descend.
Exactly. And suddenly that unique charm, that special energy, it starts to disappear under the weight of too many visitors.
Because there's just too much.
Exactly. It's like this perfect illustration of how more can actually diminish the very things that we're seeking.
Wow.
And what's interesting is that he argues that this same dynamic can even play out in social movements.
Okay, that's interesting, because you wouldn't necessarily think of social movements and this idea of more is better is being connected. So how does that work?
Well, he argues that even movements with really positive intentions, you know, can sometimes fall into this trap of thinking that more is always better, more purity, more control, more ideological conformity.
Okay.
And he uses examples like radical veganism and certain branches of feminist thought to kind of illustrate this point.
So it's like in striving for a better world, these movements can sometimes become so focused on their ideals that they end up pushing people away rather than bringing them together.
Precisely.
Interesting.
And it gets back to this idea that more can sometimes be the enemy of good.
Right.
And what's tricky is that simply pointing this out can be met with a lot of resistance.
Yeah, it's almost like questioning this more is better narrative is almost taboo.
Right.
Because if more isn't the answer, then what is? And it can feel very overwhelming to even think about challenging something that's so deeply ingrained in our culture.
And yet that's precisely what he's inviting us to do.
Yeah.
He even draws a parallel to early Christianity. You know how it started as this radical movement for change, but then as it gained power and influence, it became more rigid, more hierarchical. Uh-huh. You think about how, you know, early Christianity evolved into the Catholic Church.
Yeah, that's a really interesting comparison. So is he saying that something similar can happen with any movement that becomes too attached to a single rigid ideology, even if it starts with the best of intentions?
Exactly. And he suggests that one way to avoid this trap is to try to embrace a more balanced, nuanced perspective.
Okay.
And he brings up this fascinating concept from Aristotle, the golden mean.
Okay, so we're finally getting to the what is part. So what is the golden mean and how does it apply to this conversation?
So the golden mean is basically about finding that sweet spot between two extremes.
Okay.
So Aristotle believed that true happiness and virtue didn't come from going to one extreme or the other, but from finding balance, moderation.
So not too much, not too little, kind of like finding that perfect bowl of porridge.
Exactly.
Right.
And in the context of more is better, it's about recognizing that there's a point where more stops being beneficial and actually starts to work against us.
Okay, that makes sense. But like practically speaking, how do we actually apply this golden mean to our lives? You know, especially when we're constantly being bombarded with messages telling us to want more, buy more, BE.
Well, he offers some really practical advice. One suggestion that I found particularly powerful is this idea of feeding what you want to grow.
Ooh, I like
that. So instead of feeding this endless hunger for more, we can choose to focus our energy and our attention on the things that truly matter to us.
So being more intentional with our choices, our time, our resources.
Exactly.
If we want to cultivate a sense of contentment, we need to stop feeding that anxiety of not enough, which is way easier said than done, because it's like Our whole culture is set up to make us feel like we're always one purchase, one achievement, one follower away from being happy.
It's true. We're constantly being sold this idea that happiness is something we need to acquire rather than something that we correlate from within.
Which brings us back to his point about gratitude, right?
Absolutely.
Like, if we can learn to appreciate what we already have, maybe that can help us break free from this constant striving for more.
Absolutely. Gratitude is a powerful antidote to the more is better mentality, because when we focus on what we're grateful for, we shift from a scarcity mindset to an abundance mindset.
Like choosing to see the glasses half full, even when it feels like everyone around you is like panicking that there's not enough to go around.
And he reminds us that this isn't just about, you know, some feel-good self-help mantra.
Right.
He argues that there's a real tipping point where more becomes detrimental. He uses this phrase that really stuck with me. More of the unimportant will become less of the important.
Wow. Yeah. It's like if we're not careful,
yeah,
all that stuff, you know, all the possessions, the achievements, just the endless pursuit of more can actually crowd out the things that truly give our lives meaning and purpose.
And as we enter this new era with AI poised to really reshape so much of how we live and work, the question of what we choose to prioritize, what we choose to feed, becomes even more urgent.
Yeah, it's like we're at this really incredible crossroads and we have a choice to make. Like, do we continue down this path of more is better, even if it's leading us toward burnout and inequality and environmental destruction?
Right.
Or do we dare to imagine a different future one, where abundance is something that's shared, where technology is used to actually enhance our humanity, not replace it?
It's a profound question, and one that I think each of us needs to grapple with.
For sure.
And he offers a really compelling, I think, suggestion for a new mantra, one that he believes is more aligned with the values that we need to thrive in this emerging future.
Okay, so you've got to tell me, what's the new mantra?
He suggests that the more you share, the better you feel.
Wow. That is quite a shift from more for me to more for me.
It is a radical shift, isn't it? Because it challenges us to kind of redefine what it means to be successful, what it means to live a good life.
Yeah.
What if instead of constantly striving for more for ourselves, we focused on contributing to something larger than ourselves?
Mm-hmm.
What if instead of seeing abundance as something to be hoarded, we saw it as something to be shared?
It's a beautiful idea, and it definitely gives us all something to think about as we kind of wrap up this deep dive into Carlos Goga's work.
Yeah.
What stands out to you the most? What will you kind of carry with you from this conversation?
I think for me, it's that phrase, the more you share, the better you feel.
Yeah.
It's such a simple idea, but I think it has the potential to be truly transformative if we can find ways to kind of put it into practice in our own lives.
Yeah, I agree. And on that note, this has been another deep dive. Thanks so much for listening, everybody.